started to interact. So you say the whole group of you aboard the harbor steamship.
Yeah, well, they came from all over California, but really, the Los Angeles group, mostly they came from, they went on the harbor.
Uh-huh.
We bought transportation all at once for the whole group, and it was quite a novelty for me.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first and only time I went by steamship, because I've been back and forth on a train many times since then. But at that time, I think it was the second time I went. My father took me to San Francisco earlier than that, before that, on the train.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I don't know what we were doing up there, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I was very young then, so he took me, I don't know why, just to visit, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I went there, we stayed several days and came back. And
mm-hmm.
So I don't know anything about that trip, but as I say, the convention that we had in 1915 was on the occasion of the convention, and also the World's Fair, which was in San Francisco in 1915.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the war was on in Europe in 1914.
Mm-hmm.
It was some time after that before I got into the Army.
Mm-hmm. When did you get into the Army?
1918.
Oh. Can you talk about where did you go out of this country, or you were just in the Army in mainland here?
I was only in the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
That war was the First World War, of course.
Yes.
It was a very short war. It ended 1918.
Right.
And, it started in 1917.
Uh-huh.
I got in about 1918. First part of 1918,
uh-huh.
And I stayed after the war was over, because, you see, by trade I was supposed to be a pharmacist,
uh-huh.
And my brother was a, what they call a, in those days the Army was a whole lot different, the Air Force, I mean the Defense was a whole lot different. He was a bird fancier. He led a group of white men, no Chinese I don't think, had flyer pigeons, homing pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
They it was a hobby, and sort of a pastime.
Mm-hmm.
They would take these birds, they would raise these birds in what they call a home, in their own home, and then they would, on certain occasions, they would take them away and with a band on their legs, and they'd turn them loose and they would fly back to their home.
Uh-huh.
Only special birds would do that, and only special training.
Right. Uh-huh.
And they had contests where they would time the distance where they came, and my brother would wait in his bird cage, and the ones that were coming back, the pigeons that came back would land and come walk into their own cage.
Ah.
And he would grab them and take the band off, and register.
Uh-huh.
And so from that standpoint, that group of people were enlisted by the Army to work in the Signal Corps. They never went in, they never got into the Army, because I think they abandoned that project, just like they abandoned many projects, such as dogs. They had people that fancied had dog, watchdogs, They have now police dogs to sniff out the enemy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they, of course, he wasn't a dog, but the Army worked on many projects, such as balloons and everything else, but he happened to be a bird man, pigeon man, and so he didn't have to go any place. He just stayed home. They were or you might say, put on call.
Mm-hmm.
And they, well, don't go to the army yet, but we keep on working on these pigeons.
Uh-huh.
And when we get ready, if and when we get ready, we'll do whatever they're going to do with it.
Uh-huh.
And the dog people, the same thing. Keep,
mm-hmm.
keep training dogs. And, well, that's what the army was. I was supposed to be a pharmacist.
Mm-hmm.
I did learn, but it was drugstores that were hard to get into. That's another thing, you might say, one of the things against me
mm-hmm.
was being Oriental and trying to work and get a job. It was impossible. So I got into the army, and immediately they put me into the hospital in Camp Fremont in Menlo Park
mm-hmm.
near San Jose. I stayed there about a year,
mm-hmm.
and the armistice came along, so they sent those that weren't hollering too much.
Mm-hmm.
They sent those people to Letterman General Hospital in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
I stayed there for over a year. They,
uh-huh.
they wouldn't turn me loose because I had no dependents or no urgent reason to get out of the service.
Right.
So the people with more poor got out and I didn't.
Uh-huh.
So I stayed there until almost 1920.
Oh.
When I got out, the war was over and the jobs were few and far between. There was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for ex. You see, I had no money or anything. My father said, we'll go to China and you can, so I was looking forward to that.
Uh-huh.
And, before, I had a job working in Brunswick Drugstore at that time.
Uh-huh.
That's on Republican Main, North Main Street,
uh-huh.
opposite the Plaza Park.
Uh-huh.
That was a wholesale drug. And,
what's the name of that?
Brunswick.
Oh.
Brunswick Drug.
Oh.
The owner was a Frenchman.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of French people working for him, refugees. I wonder, anyway, the war was just over, and he had some relatives that, well, anyway, I got a job there, and my father said, let's go to China, we'll go to China, and you get married in China.
Mm-hmm.
And before that could happen, well, he was killed in an automobile accident, so that was down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
And
how did you get the job?
What job?
The Brunswick's...
I just asked what I keep on asking, because that was my, shall we say, that was what I did. I wasn't a fisherman, I wasn't a fish peddler or anything. But I came out of the army as a pharmacist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to various drugstores, and they look at my face and they see that this is a... They're not quite a Caucasian, so they say no.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty hard to work, hard to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
They would, any kind of job that they would want to offer me, well, wash the windows, sweep the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I could do that for more money elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the wholesale drug was the best bet. I worked for Brunswick for a couple of years. And my father said, we go to China and you get married. Because
mm-hmm.
I was not married then or ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because various reasons, couldn't get didn't get married, that's all.
Uh-huh.
We didn't go.
Uh-huh.
And that was the end of that episode.
At the same time, you discontinued working?
No. No, I continue.
You continue work at the Brunswick?
Yes.
Oh. Did they, were you the only Chinese working there?
As I know of, yeah, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
how was the working environment there? Was it pretty,
Well, it was just a job. It wasn't a, it was a job for money, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
What kind of job involves that, the wholesale drugs company?
Well, it was a little different from what they do now.
Uh-huh.
A whole lot different. In my days, of apprenticeship in school, we would, what we call compounding drugs prescriptions by doctors. And the doctor would look at a patient,
mm-hmm.
and he'd write out a prescription.
Uh-huh.
Now they don't.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is to prescribe prepared pills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they give you a prescription for prepared pills, and they would get these, I mean, what they do now is,
uh-huh.
the wholesale manufacturer of pills would concoct a lot of pills.
Mm-hmm.
And they would send out salesmen, and they would have a literature.
Uh-huh.
This pill is good for a certain thing, and this pill is good for that.
Right.
He'd go to a drugstore, and he'd unload them by the thousand.
Right.
And the doctors would look at the literature, and they would say, well, this patient has a headache or a bellyache,
uh-huh.
or whatever. He'd know from his stock of stuff, just like in merchandising, he'd get more profit in one kind of pill than the others, and he would push that, he'd buy a whole batch of that,
mm-hmm.
and he'd tell his doctors that the salesman, by that time they would get to the doctor too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they do now.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, the doctor would have to prescribe certain prescriptions, certain drugs by dosage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
We did that in the Army,
mm-hmm.
Made up stuff from raw material, except that the Army was limited. You know, they wouldn't have a wholesale. They had a wholesale house, what they call medical supply,
mm-hmm.
whatever available.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, of course you don't remember, in those days, it was a time of the big flu,
mm-hmm.
Spanish flu, they call it in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And people were dying like flies.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have much of a remedy for that.
Mm-hmm.
So the hospital was full of people that were taken out of their normal environment and exposed to climatic conditions,
mm-hmm.
and diet and extra work. And they would get sick, and they would get the flu. Well, then, in Fremont, Fremont, in Menlo Park, the people would be dying all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They would send them there.
Mm-hmm.
Those that were cured would be sent overseas, but I guess just as many died right then and there. Well, that's what happened. So after the war, Letterman was, as I say, the politicians and the Jews were allowed to get discharged and go. Well, the people with less influence were stuck to do the work.
Mm.
And they didn't have anybody to, well, anybody could do the, what you call, orderly work.
Mm-hmm.
They could get anybody. For specialists such as X-ray and pharmacists, they had to have people that were supposed to know something about it.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's how I got stuck there. They wouldn't discharge me for a long time.
I see.
And when I finally got out, then my father died. And that's it. But of course, that's got nothing to do with my father.
Mm-hmm. So when did you leave, how long did you work at the Brunswick?
Oh, I don't know. Because I was again, it shows my weakness. I was touted off of the job by my elder sister. She said, don't work there.
Mm-hmm.
Go out into some Well, I was getting sort of a fly-by-night
uh-huh.
Promotion, land investment in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
This thing petered out, of course. They do that all the time. You see people buying big acreage, as a matter of fact,
right.
Small acreage, so much down. You prove all kinds of schemes.
Right.
The government's got the land there. They got thousands and thousands of acres.
Mm-hmm.
We went down to take a look at it
by
a promoter. So I one of those things, that's all.
Uh-huh.
Many other things since then.
Uh-huh.
Other things. But actually, you're getting away from the subject. It's not, as I understand it, it's not supposed to be my history.
Uh-huh.
My history. But as I told you at the beginning, I don't know. Yeah, my father and my mother came to this country unknown to me.
Right.
And they were married long after they came.
Right.
And I don't know where they came from.
Right.
We never talked about it.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know why we didn't talk about it, but we didn't and they didn't and that's it.
Right. You were earlier described your work at Brunswick. You say it was different from today. So what did you do? You sort of a...
Clerk from the wholesale, from the retail stores. They would send in orders and we would fill the orders for, we didn't manufacture anything.
Oh, I see.
In the Army we did. We manufactured everything.
Oh.
We made, that's where they need the pharmacist rather than than a floor sweeper or something,
mm-hmm.
a corpsman.
Mm-hmm.
The orderlies would lift heavy patients or dead patients or sick patients.
Mm-hmm.
But the x-ray people, dentists would have to know something about the job,
mm-hmm.
even though the doctors, we had doctors there,
mm-hmm.
and they would order certain x-rays or they would order certain medicines and we would have to concoct the medicines such as liniments and iodine and
mm-hmm.
salts.
Mm-hmm.
Salts was a big thing for the Army in those days, every day I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a dose of salts and let nature take care of itself and,
mm-hmm.
and let the corpsman sweep up after him. And either that or be a cook. Well, some people went, many Chinese, well of course it's got nothing to do with it,
mm-hmm.
but if they're proficient being cooked.
Mm-hmm.
You're easy to get a job as a cook.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one fellow that I met in Fremont. He was just passing through and on the way to Europe and he didn't speak much English. He
mm-hmm.
didn't speak hardly any English, but he had some kind of papers that he purchased from his cousin or something.
Uh-huh.
Citizen paper.
Uh-huh.
So the draft board, they said, look at the name, and they went down to that address. That's the guy, and so they grabbed him and sent him to war.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was an advantage for him because by the time he got back from France, he would speak perfect English, almost perfect English.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it was a good thing for him. He never did go back to Chinatown.
No.
No. He said, why work in a laundry when he can work for a white man, be a cook?
Uh-huh.
So he went in the Army, became a cook, of course.
Uh-huh.
Because all Chinese are cooks.
Uh-huh.
And they're not soldiers.
Uh-huh.
They're not infantry people.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a Chinese, or he's a cook.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just right for him. He stayed in France. He learned English. Because they know, so it was an advantage for some people
mm-hmm.
in those days. It is yet, because we were talking too much about the Army.
That's all right.
First war, of course, it was the Second War. I wasn't in that war.
Right.
But
because not so many people can remember back that far, the First World War.
Oh yes.
Yeah, it's...
Yes, I had some friends, they just died. Of course, I outlived most of them, all of them, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Sam, I don't know, Michael Samuel Ching.
Mm-hmm.
From Salt Lake City. He had I don't know, his nephew or his son named Clovis.
Uh-huh.
And he went to the army.
Uh-huh.
Came back and he got killed in an automobile accident not too long ago.
Oh.
And another fellow that I became a partner with. Yes, I had during all this time I had a gas station too.
Oh.
Along with a Yip. He was one of the good people.
Uh-huh.
Very active in politics, in getting out the vote and all that.
Uh-huh.
And so we went into partnership with a gasoline station.
Oh.
The gasoline station was on Los Angeles Street, almost opposite the firehouse.
Oh, I see.
You know where the firehouse is?
Yeah. What's the name of that gas station?
I don't know. It was sold out long ago.
Uh-huh.
And,
at that time, did you have a name for it?
Plaza Service Station, I think.
Oh, I see.
Because it was right next to the plaza.
Uh-huh.
It was south of the plaza, to the east. Well, across the street from us was the Chinatown, was Los Angeles Street, of course.
Uh-huh.
It was the Chinese, a lot of stores there. They had Sunwing Wall. There's a place called Sam Ward. I don't know whether it's the same Sam Ward that they have now or not.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's related to them.
Uh-huh.
Grocery store, Sam Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's related to them.
You remember Yong Wah Tong?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And around the corner there was Tai Wah Tong.
Uh-huh.
And I was on the corner. Well, on the corner was Tai Wah Tong,
mm-hmm.
where the firehouse is now.
Mm-hmm.
They reconstructed that, some of that area. Pico House was on Main Street, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And down to the east was the Sanchez Alley went down.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my father's office was on 415. As I say, I didn't know much about that because although I had been there, in and out of the thing, he never stopped me, but I had no occasion to go there.
Uh-huh.
And we had to go, I couldn't go on a streetcar myself in those days, only about 6 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no reason to go there anyway.
Uh-huh.
And he was going in and out. He wasn't like he was in a grocery store standing over a counter all day long. He would go in his business and his work. He would keep on going around. Where he went, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
He'd probably contact people or people would contact him. That's how he had an office there.
Uh-huh. So how did he get to work in the early days when there was no streetcar? Did you say, yesterday you mentioned something about horse and buggy?
Oh, well, he didn't have any because he didn't have that much use for it.
Mm-hmm. But you say he would go out and rent one?
Yeah, he would rent one.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the experiences that you went along with him?
Well, I didn't know anything about it. When I went along with him, I was very young. I didn't go around with him when I became an adult.
Uh-huh.
I would do my own business.
Uh-huh.
He would do his. I didn't know what he was doing, as I tried to tell you.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether it's a shameful thing. Or I'm not dodging anything. I don't know anything.
Uh-huh.
I simply don't know.
Uh-huh. But you say you remember that he went to Pasadena and...
Yeah, even I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were adults by that time.
Oh.
And he was still going to... He didn't go he went on a streetcar.
Oh, I see.
At night, once he had a church there of sorts. He had about a dozen customers.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, he would preach to them or talk to them or something.
Uh-huh.
It was near the train track. I remember having seen the Santa Fe go past it, right next to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was where it was. I've been in Pasadena since then, but not in that part of the Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where these Chinese people came from or who they were even.
Mm-hmm.
I know they weren't very many. Mm-hmm. There were about 10 or 12, maybe. Mm-hmm. And they would come and he would preach to them. Well, that was it. What he talked to them, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What good they did him, I don't know. Maybe there were certain advantages to associate with that church, I don't know. It wasn't a church exactly. But, just like the Methodist Church. Well, that was his business. He had a church on Los Angeles Street near Fuqua, along near the corner. It was a Methodist church upstairs. And
it's opposite, across the street of his office?
No. It's, you know, Jing, you know, Hopsing Tong?
Yes.
Not now.
Right, I know, yeah, at that time. Lugo House.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was just south, just north of that.
Oh, I see.
Same stairway, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
And, well, they had other stairways, too, but
uh-huh.
Part of the stairway was our mission, what
mm-hmm.
we called a mission.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a situation where they had about, I think, four or five young men that were working as janitors or something,
mm-hmm.
and they had rooms there
mm-hmm.
in our mission,
mm-hmm.
and the thing was quite informal. They would, I don't think they paid much rent, or maybe a couple of dollars a month, maybe,
mm-hmm.
and they would undertake to take care of the place,
mm-hmm.
sweep out and all that, set the chairs and dust and sweep. And they would cook and eat there,
mm-hmm.
and then go to work in there the rest of the day, the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
They were, I think, about five or six people, and lived two in a room.
Mm-hmm.
And they had several rooms. And then on Sundays, we would have our service. The families would come there,
mm-hmm.
and we had church right on the corner, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Downstairs would be in those days Chinese art goods store.
Uh-huh.
That was on it was called Marchiswell those days.
Uh-huh.
It's an extension of Sunset Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
And it became Marchiswell at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Clear on down through Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
Crossed Alameda and down through Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's where the station was now.
Uh-huh.
They took out all of the Chinatown and all the railroad yards, which is north of the thing.
Right.
That was up to Macy Street.
Mm-hmm.
The vacant space, sort of, where they had train tracks for the storage.
Mm-hmm. When they formed this new Chinatown, that Peter Suhu, senior, and they formed this cooperation. Were you involved?
No.
Uh-huh.
We had no money.
Mm-hmm.
The people who were involved were Wong Chung, I don't know, we called him Wai Da, and Peter,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't have so much money. He had civic influence, well,
mm-hmm.
politics.
Mm-hmm.
Let them do what. That's why afterward they were kicking themselves, because they allowed a lot of bad sewers to be put in, and it wasn't so extensive as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
It included all the way from Lipo
mm-hmm.
to the north, and down to the south would be about. Well, not very far down to the south, and then across to Hill Street.
Uh-huh.
And not across the street from Hill Street either, on just
uh-huh.
this side.
Uh-huh.
And they had Yimi Lu,
mm-hmm.
and Yi Xin Chung wasn't there yet.
Oh, not that year. Uh-huh.
Well, he wasn't the original.
Mm-hmm.
The original was Hong Kong, which became Hong Kong now, which
uh-huh.
is now Hong Kong.
Oh, is that right? Uh-huh.
Well, it wasn't Hong Kong then.
Uh-huh.
You see, they went broke. You see, what is it? They had a restaurant on Macy Street.
Uh-huh.
And they moved over, and they what do you call it? It became Hong Kong when the partners died off or something, and they went broke, and they owed. You see, that's how Yi Xing Qiong got in there.
I see.
They had a grocery store, and they would extend credit to these restaurants, and those that went broke handed over their restaurant to them. You see.
I see.
They would take sort of an informal mortgage, like
mm-hmm.
if you buy groceries.
Mm-hmm.
You should have to do,
mm-hmm.
and if you go broke, you owe them, so you can't pay them, so you go back to China, and you give them this place, something like that. Well, various angles to it, of course,
right.
But there's something like that.
Uh-huh.
But that Grand View, they had a Grand View there before,
uh-huh.
on Alameda Street.
Uh-huh.
That was the old lady, the old madam. She was one of the first ones that had a style bar
uh-huh.
called a pagoda.
Pagoda?
Yeah, it was